Welcome to the Curta Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and this episode is a little bit of a follow-up episode. So in episode 64, I spoke about Foundation for Emails 2, which was released, which is pretty monumental release if you're doing any kind of email templating and designing, whether it be transactional or actual just general EDMs. So check that one out. There's a link in the show notes back to that episode, or you can just go and look for episode number 64. So it was a pretty big release, and it hasn't been that long, and now Foundation for Emails 2.1 is out, and it's a pretty big update. It consists of essentially two updates, which I'll run through. One of them is major, one of them is minor, but they're still quite interesting. So I'll read a couple of extracts from the blog. Foundation for Emails 2 has already changed the email workflow for thousands of people with a revamped CSS codebase, inky markup to ditch tables, and a powerful workflow to stay dry. It makes coding HTML emails easy, essentially pretty easy. It takes away that complexity quite substantially, but still you've got to use a little bit of thinking there. So today we are releasing Foundation for Emails 2.1, which further optimizes your workflow and speeds up coding. There are a couple new inky components and more Zurb stack magic to simplify your HTML email development and make you email you an email pro. So these two updates, I'll run through them here. Essentially, it's the components, which they are quite handy components, and it's good to see they were there. I didn't really notice that they were missing at the time. But now it's pretty obvious that now that they've announced that they've added these in. So the first one is the inky spacer component. So the extract here is vertical spacing between email clients is not as simple as it sounds. In fact, it's consistently inconsistent. Versions of Outlook don't respect margin and padding the same, and breaks are all different all over the place. And, you know, plus who wants to break all over the place? It is quite ugly. So the new space component takes care of this. It works the same on all devices and email clients, saving you the time and headaches down the road. Now, this has always been quite a big problem for me personally when I'm creating emails. It's just a frustrating thing, and you get to the point where some things work and it's a little bit off here and there, and you just kind of accept it. You come to accept it with some layouts that you might be given. You just can't get it right. And at the end, most people viewing the email might not notice, but you're definitely going to notice. But it is better if you can kind of have everything looking as expected. And this really does take out that complexity and those issues, and it solves that problem. So the next one is the wrapper inky component. So this gives you a wrapper tag. So this component was also added to allow the creation of full-width rows, targeting elements in section and adding background colors. These new components save you time not only coding but also in testing. Making beautifully fluid width headers is now a reality. So this one's quite important. So if you're doing any kind of like banner sections or any highlights, having the full background color really helps, and this just makes it very, very simple. It just takes that little bit of complexity further out of the issue. So basically all their style templates have been updated as well, so they've refreshed them to make sure that they include these new components. So if you did already download all the templates, the starter templates, or anything like that, then just make sure to update those. Now for the major change, and this one I'm really excited about, and I think this was definitely worth the extra work, and I'll leave a shout out, which they gave on the blog as well here on the episode. So there is now Litmus integration for your email testing. So I'll run through the extract. So testing is a very necessary but time-consuming process. Tools like Litmus exist to speed testing up so you can test many devices and email clients at once. But you still have to zip up your images and send your email to Litmus for testing. But what if you don't use an email service provider? How would you send the email to Litmus? Not to mention your images still need to be hosted. To solve these problems, Foundation for 2.1 introduces loads of helpful new features. The Zurb stack can now tie into your existing Litmus account with a single command, inline your code. Optimize it, compress your HTML images, and send it off to Litmus for testing. So if you have an Amazon S3 account, the Zurb stack will replace your images with hosted ones so that they can be tested on Litmus. Foundation for Emails 2.1 helps you save even more time testing and preparing your email so you can spend more time improving your product. Whether you have no email workflow or want to upgrade your existing one, Foundation for Emails has your back. Now, I'll just give the shout out here now. They're saying a huge, huge shout out to Dan Van Brunt. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry if I'm not. And that's at IDVB on GitHub and Twitter. They set this up and got it across the line for the release. So huge shout out, because this feature is pretty massive. For me personally, this really does solve a lot of headaches and a lot of manual setup in the process, because you can email, which is what you should do. You can also paste HTML email. So what I'd been doing is simply creating my email locally, and then what I'd do is I'd upload the images to S3. I'd replace all the entries in the markup with the S3 links, and then copy and paste that HTML into Litmus. Now, you really shouldn't be copying HTML into Litmus. The results can vary sometimes, so it is better if you can actually email it. But there's problems with that. So those issues are kind of absolved. They're gone. They don't exist anymore if you use Foundation for Emails 2.1. This is pretty massive. So if you've ever gone through that process of having to do this again and again and again, it's quite time-consuming. It's painful. It's easy to mess up a step. It just makes it very, very simple. And as I've spoken before about automating tools or tools that automate your workflow and things like that, they really need to get out of the way. So if you're using a tool that basically is, you know, you use 20% of the tool and gives you 80% of the result, that's a huge benefit and that's worth using. It's only when the tool becomes kind of like you're driving the tool the whole time and it's you're not getting as much from it, that's a problem. But this is solving a pretty massive issue. And some people might think, oh, that's a bit lazy, but not really. If you're doing this quite a lot and you want to make sure that you can spend as much time on improving the email itself or working on other parts that will affect the email in the end, that's really important. So anywhere that you're going to be able to save time in something manual that's just literally kind of wasting time, if you can speed that up, it's definitely worth it. So for me, this is a pretty big one. But that's essentially it. I'd love to know if you've, since the episode 64, if you've tried out Foundation for Emails 2, what's your thoughts? How's it gone? Have you even played around with this latest release? Because as I'm recording this, it's already been out for a few days or so. So I'd love to know your feedback on that. You know, the Litmus integration for me is pretty massive. It'd be interesting to see if they do any other kind of integrations later on as well. It certainly seems like this could be a bit of a platform to kind of get things going a bit more. And I do know that Zurb does dog food all their work. So it'd be interesting to see where this all goes. But that's it. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to rate and review in iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. It really helps me. And if you do have a spare moment to leave some feedback or a rating or review in iTunes, I'd really appreciate that. And also tell your friends as well if you're enjoying the podcast. And as always, you can always reach out to me on Twitter at CodaCatchup. You can send an email through to CodaCatchup@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on CodaCatchup.com for this episode. But other than that, we'll see you in the next episode.